Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents To Marry a Madden by Sherelle Green, narrated by Sean Crisden and Wesley Chavon. You're invited to the wedding of Carter Madden and Serenity Taylor. Before they exchange vows, Carter has to make peace with the family he left behind, starting with a message to the women who changed his brother's lives for the better. Welcome to Carter's Confessional. Dear sis, we didn't meet before you became a Madden. Even though I am truly honored to have you as a sister-in-law, that is something I will always regret. I'm marrying the love of my life this weekend, and thereby securing the last Madden woman to join our fold. But before I can exchange my forever vows with Serenity Taylor, I just needed to tell you. Love, Carter. 1. Carter and Serenity. Carter. Serenity fucking Taylor. My love. My rock. My everything. Leaving her was the truest heartbreak I'd ever known. The shittiest kind of pain I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. A reminder that even a guy like me, with an imperfectly perfect family and an entire town of supporters, could fall into a dark situation with no end in sight. I'd seen shit. Done worse. Experienced so much fucked up mess in my lifetime that when I slowly closed my eyelids, I was haunted by every pair of pleading eyes that died at my hands. It didn't matter if I pulled the trigger or been a witness. The thing about taking someone's life was that you never forgot that last look before their body became lifeless. Even at a distance, I could see that look. Panic. Despair. And then, finally, acceptance that this was the end. In the military, I was praised for having eagle-eye vision, yet no one ever spoke the truth about my skill set. That I was more of a weapon than a soldier, since being as good as I was came with too many damn consequences to count. And now, I was less than a week away from marrying the love of my life, 96 hours from saying the vows that were etched in my heart the moment I saw Serenity playing in her front yard, aloud. This should be the happiest time of my life. But I couldn't shake the feeling in the pit of my stomach that everything was going to be shot to shit if I didn't talk some stuff out with my family. We shared some good times over the past few months, but they didn't know the man I was now. Not completely. Hell, I hadn't even really given them a chance to know the new me since we reunited. Serenity constantly encouraged me to have a heart-to-heart with each of them, but I never listened. Torn between wanting to build new relationships and nervous that they wouldn't like the new Carter. The fucked-up Carter. Because truth was, the boy they grew up with died 16 years ago, and he was never coming back. I was an asshole, selfish in ways I never thought I would be, because even being fearless in most situations didn't disguise the anxiety I felt when faced with letting my guard down around my family. Even as a kid, I knew I wasn't good enough for Serenity Taylor. She deserved so much more than I could ever give her, and yet there wasn't a damn thing that anyone could say or do to make me give her up again. In fact, the only thing that hadn't really changed about me was my love for the breathtaking woman who was currently walking toward me with her hair all wild and free, in the way it often was when her bonnet fell off while she was sleeping. "Hey, beautiful," I whispered as she curled into my arms, draping hers over my shoulders.
"Hey, handsome,"
she winked and giggled in a way that almost made me smile. And just like most mornings, the sunlight streaming into our cabin and the mountains kissed her mahogany skin, adding a seductive glow around her that was all natural. "I hope I didn't wake you."
"You mean with all that hardcore thinking you were doing?"
she goaded.
"I could feel your mind racing all the way in the bedroom. What's wrong?"
Instead of answering her right away, I began kissing the nape of her neck, teasing her sweet spot with my tongue. How could anything be wrong when I'm finally marrying my dream girl? When I lifted my head back up, her eyes were full of love, but hinted that she was waiting for me to fess up to whatever was on my mind.
"Everything will be fine," she said. "When we decided on a small wedding with only your immediate family, it was the perfect decision. We've spent a lot of time ensuring that they are unaware of exactly where we'll be going for the wedding, and 4 days is plenty of time to get everything together when we arrive at the location. I'm not worried."
"I'm not concerned about that either. My family didn't push too hard to learn where we're getting married beforehand, and I know we'll put things together fairly quickly.
She squinted. Then what has your mind working overtime this morning?
I leaned my forehead against hers, soaking in her strength and everything about her. The past year together with her had been more perfect than I'd ever imagined. Although we hadn't been without our obstacles and hardships, being with Serenity after all this time made even my darkest days seem brighter. But that was the thing with a woman like her. She accepted me for the man I am, even though my mind sometimes slipped into a dark place that I couldn't climb out from on my own. She never complained about making a choice to share a different life than what she had imagined for herself. Yet I knew that being with me wasn't the lifestyle she'd planned. She was a unicorn, a person far stronger than anyone ever gave her credit for. I didn't want to disappoint Serenity, and we promised to be honest with each other. Taking a deep breath, I admitted something that I'd only recently began admitting to myself. In more ways than I can count, my family is more yours than they are mine. I know they all support us getting married, but I'm not sure they truly know who they are supporting. She frowned.
What do you mean?
You tried to tell me so many times that I needed to talk things out more with them, and in my heart I know I can't marry you without being completely honest with them first. Her eyes widened in surprise.
What exactly do you want to be honest with them about? I thought we agreed they wouldn't understand why we will continue to live off the grid or why we never discuss exactly what it is you do for a living.
There's so much more than just that.
Like what?
She asked.
Because if it's just about getting to know your family more, you can make strides to do that after the wedding. Even though you've changed as a man, they all still love you for the man you are, not who you were.
You don't know that.
I do.
She gently ran her fingers over the scar on my face before placing a soft kiss on it, the same way she did every morning.
Carter, you are so hard on yourself sometimes, and you're not giving your family enough credit. I've seen you around the Crowns. You're so free to be yourself and open around them. I know that the Crowns understand you in ways your family never will, but baby, you gotta give them a chance. You will always be a Madden. What you've been through in life doesn't change that.
I'm trying to let them in more, I admitted, dragging my fingers down my face. I just don't think I'm doing a very good job.
Maybe you should write them letters,
Serenity suggested.
I learned so much more about you through your words, and they helped us reconnect and find each other again.
I briefly glanced away before meeting her eyes again.
You already wrote them letters, didn't you?
I nodded. Yeah, I did. Studying my eyes, she asked.
Are you nervous about what those letters entail? That your parents or brothers will look at you differently after?
That's the thing, I said, clearing my throat. Before the wedding, I'll have another talk with my brothers and parents, but the letters I wrote were actually to my sisters-in-law.
You wrote to the ladies?
She asked.
But why?
Because I know me being estranged from my family left a hole in each of my brothers' hearts. But the women they found turned them into the men they are today. They discovered a new purpose. They started their families. They moved on even if they didn't know they needed to. I had to write the letters to them, because without them, I wouldn't have my brothers back in my life right now. Serenity's eyes watered as she listened to me speak.
I hate that you think you ever lost them in the first place, but knowing what you went through, I understand.
I can't have those unspoken words sitting on my heart before we get married. I want everyone in that room to know me. And not the Carter who's been showing up the past year, but parts of me that I haven't shared with them before. Serenity's smile lit up her face.
I think that's a great idea. Since we leave for the wedding tonight, I'll make time to read the letters if you want me to. That way you'll feel more at ease when you give it to each of them before we get married.
Taking a deep breath, I nodded. I would love it if you read them first.
Then I will. Anything for you.
When she kissed me, I felt the power behind her words and the promise that no matter what life threw at us, Serenity had my back, just like I had hers. I could have kissed her for hours, but a sound outside on the deck caught our attention.
He's back,
Serenity said with a laugh as we went outside to find Colt, sitting on the deck as if he hadn't been gone for days. Instead of greeting me first, Colt went straight to Serenity, knocking her over as he excitedly tried to lick her face while she blocked him as much as she could before finally giving in.
Great, now I have to wash my face again,
she complained through her giggles, but I knew she loved it. Colt and Serenity seemed to grow closer every week.
I wish we could bring him with us.
Don't think so.
Why? None of our nieces and nephews will be there, so you don't have to worry about Colt scaring the kids.
Grayson will be there, and he's practically still a kid, I reminded her. Besides, can you imagine introducing him to my family? They'll all think we're crazy because he looks like he's part wolf.
Looks like?
Serenity raised an eyebrow.
You know I love Colt, but sweetie, let's not pretend that he isn't part wolf.
She rubbed behind Colt's ears.
For all we know, you may be all wolf, right, boy? Who's a good wolf dog? You'll hold down the fort while we're gone?
Colt didn't bark or growl, but snuggled up to Serenity's neck, soaking in all the love. Although I was still nervous about what the week may bring, my mind was a little more at ease by the time Colt finally decided to greet me.
Serenity. This is breathtaking, I whispered, careful not to wake Carter as I peered out of the floor-to-ceiling window with a gorgeous view of the majestic Canadian mountains and endless greenery. Late last night, we arrived at the remote, black-owned luxury lodge, and I hadn't been able to see how beautiful our surroundings were, especially the gorgeous lake below us. I hadn't stepped outside on our balcony yet, but for early December, the weather last night wasn't as cold as I thought it would be. Taking a sip of my coffee, I curled up even more into the grand chair as I thought about how unreal it was that I would officially be Mrs. Carter Madden in a few short days. I already felt closer to him than I ever had before, yet I couldn't remember the last time I was this excited about something. Over the past year, I'd fallen in love all over again with my golden boy. In a way, it was even more beautiful to be able to love a man who didn't feel as though he deserved my love. I enjoyed spending as much time as I could, reminding him that he was worthy of that, and so much more. Life in California was pretty damn good, too. I'd been able to create more art than I ever thought I could, and after I sold all my original pieces, I began selling the prints online. Luckily, Carter knew a third-party company that he trusted for us to be able to safely and discreetly ship my pieces. It didn't hurt that I created a pen name for my artwork, too, since I never thought it was fair that Carter be the only one with an alias. Looking back on the past couple decades of my life, I couldn't recall a time when I was at peace more than I was now. And that was mostly in part to Carter, whether he believed it or not. It didn't matter how many scars he had or demons he was still slaying. When I looked into his penetrating, deep brown eyes, all I saw was the 12-year-old boy who'd stolen my heart and never given it back.
What's got you smiling, beautiful?
A groggy Carter asked, sneaking up behind me and placing a soft kiss on the nape of my neck. Just excited about the next few days, I told him, tilting my head to give him better access. I can't wait to catch up with everyone, and you already know the best part will be marrying you.
You're already my world in every way that counts,
he muttered.
But I'd be lying if I didn't admit how damn glad I am that legally you'll be mine.
Smiling, I soaked in his kisses. Didn't matter how many times I felt his lips on mine. I always felt them to the tips of my toes. I finished your letters a half hour ago, I told him, as he took a seat next to me.
What did you think?
He asked, his voice low, in that way it often got when he was nervous about what my opinion would be. I think each letter is absolutely perfect.
Really?
Yes. Every paragraph, every sentence, every word has meaning. The ladies will appreciate it. But I bet your brothers will love it, too.
I'm nervous to give it to them,
he admitted. I know, but trust me, the letters are beautifully written, and I think they say exactly what you need to say.
Thank you,
he said.
You should be worried about making sure the staff knows how you want the place decorated for our wedding, but instead, you're helping me with my problems.
Our problems, I corrected. We're a team, remember?
Always.
Carter gently rubbed the bottom of my chin before pulling me out of my chair, almost causing me to spill my coffee. I'm not sure which of us put the cup successfully on the side table, but seconds later, I was in his arms, my robe sliding off my shoulders as his hands explored my body. With ease, Carter lifted me and placed me on the bed, discarding his boxer so that we were both naked. We really did have a lot to do before the wedding, but at the moment, all I could think about was making love to my soon-to-be husband.
"You're so damn sexy,"
he groaned, one hand gently cupping my breast while the other gripped my ass. "Right back at ya," I muttered, barely getting out the words as he eased his dick inside of me, filling me so much it took all my energy not to squirm from how deliciously good it felt. We moved in perfect unison, each stroke causing me to moan even louder than the moment before. As I got close, I opened my eyes, my breath catching when I noticed him staring at me with so much love and affection. It almost moved me to tears. He didn't have to say anything for me to know that he was reflecting on how long it took us to get here. I was thinking the same thing. However, the only part that mattered was that we had indeed found each other again. Soon, I was moaning into the ceiling, my orgasm so strong it triggered his own, both of us succumbing to that feeling we knew all too well. We were barely coming down from our orgasmic high when noise from a distance caught our attention. "Is that?"
"Fuck," Carter huffed. "That's definitely Grayson, meaning Jackie D and his men are here a little earlier than expected."
"Wait," I leaned up on my elbows. "You had Jackie D pick up the family? As in Jedediah Crown? Your friend who barely says two words to your family anytime they're in the same vicinity?" Carter rubbed the back of his head.
"Yep, that's the one."
"I thought we were picking them up."
"I knew if I told you Jackie D was getting them, you'd insist we do it."
"Of course I would have. I know I agreed to him and his guy securing the area for our extended weekend, but picking up your family is not the way I wanted to start our time together."
"Bae, there is a lot of shit going on with the Crowns, and you know in some ways I'm associated with them. I needed to be sure everyone was safe. That's why I didn't want my nieces and nephews here. It would crush me if something happened to them."
"Is something going on that I don't know about?" I asked.
"No one is in danger, if that's what you mean. However, after everything that happened, I just want to be sure."
"But you killed him," I reminded, not needing to clarify who I was referring to. It was hard to forget the man who had caused us so much pain, even if we had agreed to never think about him again. "If he's dead, why are we still acting like he's alive, continuing to make our lives a living hell?" Leaning his head back, Carter gazed up at the ceiling. Even before he spoke, I sensed that I already knew the answer to my question.
"Serenity, we can never be too careful. And even though we don't have to look over our shoulders every day anymore, he had a lot of people working for him, and some who probably didn't like that I killed him."
He glanced at me, that darkness in his eyes that sometimes peeked through.
"One of the things my team used to say in the military was that even if we cut off the head of the snake, its bite was still lethal."
I sighed, sinking back down into the bed as I thought about what Carter was saying. When I was with him, I never felt in danger. But I understood that having Jedediah and his team present was the only thing that would ease Carter's mind. "I see them sometimes, you know."
"See who?"
he asked, leaning on one elbow to look at me. At first, I thought Cranberry Heights just had some new folks in town. Then when we went on several vacations, I paid more attention. I held his eyes, waiting for him to catch on to what I was implying.
"How long have you known?"
he asked, shaking his head. "Which part?" I asked. "How long have I known my fiancé hires security every time we're someplace with a crowd of people? Or
How long have I known we only vacation in places that you fully vetted?
Damn, I guess I'm not as sneaky as I thought.
I laughed, only because I know your M.O. now. Knowing you, your older brothers probably understand why you're extra cautious. But baby, this weekend is about giving them their letters and us getting married, not having security pick up your family from the airport. We reserved this entire place so it's safe.
You're right,
he agreed.
From now on, I'll be the one to take them anywhere. And I won't blindfold them anymore.
Carter, no!
What?
You blindfolded your family? He shrugged sheepishly.
At least I reserved the party bus for everyone.
And suddenly, it made even more sense why Grayson was causing a commotion since arriving. Let's get dressed and save your family from Jackie D's glowering stare.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But first,
the sound of Grayson's voice was nothing but white noise as Carter pulled me on top of him, capturing my lips with his.
2. Grayson and Jordan. Grayson.
What the hell kind of greeting was that?
I yelled as we all exited the vehicle.
Grayson, stop yelling,
Jordan stated.
Fuck that.
I glanced around at my family before looking to the guy who picked us up. My dude, remember me? Carter's brother. The man nodded.
Well, I'm cool if you don't ever want to say shit around us, but don't tell people to get in some dark-ass bus and then start playing some party music after you blindfold us. I mean, who the fuck does that kind of shit?
Language, Grayson,
my mom said, popping me upside my head.
Ma, you know that shit, that mess was crazy.
Your brother told us that he didn't want us aware of where we were headed,
my dad reminded.
Just be grateful the ride from the private landing strip was only an hour. Plus, they didn't take us against our will,
Micah said. Bruh, I told you that Carter called and said Jackie D would be picking us up.
Yeah, you told us all that, but he couldn't even pick us up himself.
Micah shrugged as we all began unloading the luggage. By now, I knew Carter didn't leave anything to chance, and there was a reason he had his big-ass, no-talking friend with us. Regardless, my family was acting like that shit wasn't weird as hell.
This place is gorgeous,
Mom said, her remark getting everyone's attention.
I knew Carter and Serenity would pick a beautiful place like this to get married.
As I glanced up from the luggage, I noticed Mom was right. The place was pretty damn beautiful.
Beats being in the city,
I whispered to Jordan, whose eyes lit up as she observed the luxury lodge.
We need this,
she replied, leaning her head on my shoulder.
Life in New York is so busy that we've barely been seeing each other. It doesn't make any sense with the businesses we have together, and the only time we get to talk is when...
Her voice trailed off, but she didn't need to finish for me to know what she was thinking. Lately, we've been back and forth on what we wanted to do to expand our family. Tell you what, while we're here, how about I spoil you a bit? She lifted an eyebrow and crossed her arms over her chest.
Why, Mr. Madden, what exactly did you have in mind?
Glancing around, I made sure no one was paying us any attention when I whispered. Figured I'd start with a foot rub because you've been on your feet a lot lately. I kissed right underneath her earlobe. Then I'll pay that pussy of mine some attention by eating you for dinner and dessert tonight.
I'm still listening.
You better be, I warned. Because I told Carter we'd be late to some of the shit Serenity wants us all to do since I plan on fucking you any place I can until the wedding.
And you know I brought that shit you like.
She winked, her eyes telling me that her thoughts were just as dirty as mine.
Word? That shit shit?
That shit shit.
She confirmed. Hell, I was ready to get our assigned room or take her back in the bus, but Carter and Serenity finally decided to show up. It's about time, I teased. Had us wondering if we were going to be with the Terminator until the wedding.
None of us thought that,
Malik said.
Grayson's just being Grayson.
Man, whatever. Y'all were wondering where he was. Speaking of which, where the hell are we?
Grayson,
Mom yelled.
Sorry, Mom, I mean, where the heck... are we?
Canada.
Carter answered as if it were obvious. Glancing around, it seemed like the others had already guessed it.
Did y'all already know?
Well, I couldn't be sure, Caden said. But from the direction the plane flew, I assumed we were headed north.
I shrugged, smirking at Jordan. Carter had asked that we all fly out of Arkansas on a private plane he reserved. After Jordan and I had a quickie in the bathroom on a plane, I'd been more focused on the food and drinks they stocked the plane with than looking at the direction we were going. We took turns greeting Carter in serenity, excitement evident in all my family members. Honestly, I couldn't remember the last time I saw Serenity as happy as she looked right now, but it was my brother that caused me to pause. "Happy looks good on you," I told him, after giving him a quick hug last. "I'm a lucky man." Smiling, he glanced at Serenity. "You are, but she's lucky too." He seemed caught off guard by my words, but I meant it. "You gave your entire life for the woman you love, and I'm damn proud to call you my brother."
"Thanks, Grayson,"
he said, sounding a little choked up.
"That means a lot to me."
I gave him another quick hug just because. It was kind of surreal being days away from my last brother getting married. I'd looked at Serenity like a sister since I met her, but I didn't need to know every detail about what Carter had been through to know he had fought hard to get back to her.
"Listen, we know that you're all a little jet-lagged," Serenity stated. "So we'll show you all to your rooms and lunch will be in a couple hours. Carter and I reserved the entire lodge. Therefore, we have this place to ourselves. If you have any questions, you can ask us or the staff."
We all nodded and began following them into the lodge when Carter stopped at the door.
"I just want to add that we're really glad you all are here to celebrate with us. It's been a long journey, but we're ready for this moment."
I glanced at my mom in time to see her swipe away a tear, and I could hear from the sniffles that a couple of my sisters-in-law were doing the same. It really had been amazing to witness how Carter and Serenity had picked up right where they left off the past year. It took no time to show us all to our rooms, and in a lot of ways, the lodge had the same homey feel as my parents' B&B, even though it was larger. Our room was just as nice as the rest of the lodge. The Grand King bed was so high, there were step stools on each side. The pine tree trimmed in gold and white decorations was a nice touch and matched the decor the Serenity had told us were the colors for the wedding. It also filled the room with a fragrant, husky scent, and the way it was positioned not too far from the burning fireplace made me think Jordan and I ought to consider changing some things at our place. Since they'd reserved the entire lodge, there were three rooms separating those of us that were located on the same floor. I could almost kiss Carter for making sure my parents were nowhere near our room. "Now I can fuck you as loud as I want," I said, wiggling my eyebrows at Jordan as we unpacked our bags.
"Why does everything out of your filthy-ass mouth sound naughty every time you speak?"
"You know who you married." I walked over to her side of the bed where she was placing her clothes in the dresser. "And this filthy-ass mouth is already missing the taste of you on his lips." Her lips curled to the side in a smile as she turned into my arms. Jordan was always gorgeous, but she'd just gotten a fresh haircut and was giving me mad Halle Berry in the 90s vibes.
"You want to fuck me right now, don't you?"
she teased. "When don't I want to fuck you?" I loved the spicy way she smelled. When I kissed her, there was nothing sweet about it. And soon we were falling into the bed, both our hands grabbing whatever we could on each other.
"Cray, we need to take showers before we do anything,"
she cautioned in between kisses.
"We've been traveling all day."
I grinned as I began removing her clothes. "Shit, it's been a minute since we showered together." She playfully swatted me on the shoulder.
"Boy, I meant separate showers."
"My bad." I started removing my own clothes instead. "I'll go first, since you like to take them long-ass showers with the water on hell." 2 minutes later, I was in the shower smiling to myself when she creaked the glass door open, shower cap and all.
"No, you didn't just take my clothes off and hop in the shower without me."
"You made it seem like you wanted to shower by yourself."
"Nah, I want something else instead."
Jordan gently pushed me along the wall of the shower that was out of the direction of the water.
"If you fuck up my hair, I will punch your ass. You feel me?"
I could barely nod before she wrapped her mouth around my dick. I looked around for something to grab because Jordan had a way of bringing a nigga to his knees whenever her mouth was on me. "Damn, Jay, show me who boss then." She giggled before sucking me to the back of her throat, and damned if I didn't squeal like a little bitch from the way that shit hit me all the way to my toes. When I glanced down at her, I almost squealed again. Legs open, squat position, shower cap bobbing up and down. Marrying Jordan was the best decision I'd ever made in my life. I almost busted a nut right there, but she was looking too sexy to let her swallow that shit. Gently grabbing her by the forearm, I lifted her, twisting her body so that her breasts were pinned to the glass. I let some of the water splatter over her body while I knocked at her thighs for her to open them more. When she did, my hands went straight to her clit before I dipped two fingers into her wetness.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?